Welcome to the SEO Insider with your host, Seth Price, founder of Blue Shark, taking you inside the world of legal marketing and all things digital.
Welcome, everybody. We are thrilled to have Jason Brown here, the founder of Review Fraud. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, you're on the short list of people that, you know, sort of are part of this sort of, I would say the almost translators for us, us civilians and the inner workings of Google Local. Talk to me a little bit about sort of the world that you travel in and how, you know, how you've helped work with, you know, I'm sure a whole variety of different people to try to navigate what has become extremely choppy waters.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess I started with review fraud, you know, going after, you know, fake, you know, positive reviews, and then it's kind of transcended into businesses coming, you know, to me, or, you know, consumers saying, you know, hey, look, I'm having this issue with this company and we don't know what to do. And because of, you know, what I've learned from doing this and becoming a, you know, a Google My Business product expert, I'm able to give a lot more guidance than what is out there. Because, you know, as we know, SEOs live in an echo chamber. And so once some incorrect, improper information gets out there, people just run with it and it just spreads like wildfire. And so I'm actually able to kind of come in and help cut the crap and cut through, you know, the web of lies and sit there and say, okay, this is what really truly needs to happen. Here's your chances of being able to get this review removed. If it can't, then here's what the next steps are. And, you know, and just trying to, you know, just be there, you know, as a general, you know, helper, you know, on either my website or on the community forum for Google.
Well, so talk to me, what are some of those misconceptions that are out there that, you know, the world sort of assumes are true, but you know are not?
Yes, that you can't get a one-star review removed from Google and that Google will not take action. That's half true. Yes, if somebody were to just leave, you know, just a one-star review on your listing, then yes, chances are Google's not going to take that review down. However, if that profile is engaging in abusive tactics, or you're a business that's getting attacked because you went viral and you've got a whole bunch of one-star reviews, then yes, Google will take down that review. The other misconceptions that we deal with is, Google won't remove any reviews, and so all you need to do is just get a bunch more reviews to just bury that, and problem solved. And, you know, and that doesn't truly work, because you're not really addressing the issue. And I've seen in, you know, some of these Facebook groups that I was a member of that I finally, you know, removed myself from, that, you know, businesses that were legitimately getting attacked, you know, it was, you know, a consumer that was upset and buying fake negative reviews. But the echo chamber was nothing you can do, forget about it, just get more reviews. And I'm like, no, there's actually something that can be done if you come to the Google forum. And I always push everybody to the Google forum, because then I can interact with them. And then when need be, I can ask Google to investigate the issue properly.
Gotcha. But look, and that's been sort of like, there's so many different layers of this. It's sort of, I'll take start at the top. We're now seeing, I'm in the legal space, and that's where I spend a lot of my time, where lawyers have had enough and they're actually, you know, suing to get the names of these reviewers. A great case going on in Detroit right now, or in the Detroit area, where one of my favorite plaintiff shops had negative reviews coming, and they were able to show this was actually coming from a competitor. Have you started to see people sort of getting fed up with the idea that people could hide out behind, you know, a cloak and sort of try to harm their competitors? Is that something you're seeing across the board, or are these still isolated incidents where people are sort of, I'm fed up and I'm going to actually take legal action against people?
Well, are people fed up? Yes. Yeah. Are people actually doing what needs to be done to take legal action? No. So right now, you know, there's several cases going on in LA, Orange County of Southern California, where, you know, a lawyer who has fake listings, fake positive reviews, he actually went and bought a bunch of negative reviews against his competitors who had just gotten into the LSA ads, right? So he knew that if he started attacking their listings, it was going to diminish the results in LSA, and he was able to come in and make a killing. We're also seeing negative review attacks in the air conditioning, HVAC, heating industry too, also in LA Orange County. I'm dealing with a negative review attack where 16 pest control companies up in Portland area are all getting attacked by the same competitor, and we know who it is. But the problem is you have to foot the bill, right? And so when you have to hire a lawyer, you know,
when you're a lawyer, there's less, you know, there's less, and you know, your cost to yourself are less. But that's why, you know, it's funny because to a certain extent, I am that person, right? And I run a law firm. We don't, for us, we can't have a 3.5 or 4. We want our lawyers to be 4.9 and 5s. Like, I mean, we give great service. The mousetrap is good. So there is a lot of just, hey, let's keep the positive ones going because, you know, A, there's no certainty that you'll get the negative ones removed. But talk to me about some of the things to look out for. You know, there are a lot of groups out there, not you, meaning I look at you as one of those guys that when you speak, we listen. But there are a number of different review removal services, some in the, let's call it by hand category, and some in the AI category. And I know you've had some of these people are the ones that will feed things to you when they see stuff and say, hey, this is JSON worthy. What can you speak to as far as consumers looking at some of these groups that do this in mass, where it's not here's one, but here are my reviews. What can you do?
Yes, sure. So I think the big warning sign, and it goes with everything in SEO, there's no guarantees. And so if you are dealing with a company that's going to guarantee something, then those are the chances. That's where you need to run these review removal services. They actually have to have access to your Google My Business listing. So if they don't have access to your Google My Business listing and you're not granting it to them, then whatever they're doing to report those reviews, which is pretty much just flagging it on Google, that's not what Google cares about. Google wants those. In order for Google to take a look at a review, you have to flag it in your dashboard. So if you're paying some company and you haven't flagged it in your own dashboard, they're not going to do anything. And there's quite a few companies out there where that's what they do, you know, and I don't want to, you know, call them out. I mean, some of them are legit, but again, you have to make sure that, you know, you flagged it in your dashboard and they know what to do. And then we've seen the thing where like there was that lawyer that, or that review review removal company where they were falsifying judge orders. yeah, that was a,
I missed that one.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. You look that one up, but yeah, they basically had a judgment in their favor and they just took that judgment and they altered it to use it to circumvent.
Well, it's so much easier than having to go and get multiple judgments.
Exactly. Until they got busted. And I think there was a criminal case with it.
Oh God. You know, something I've talked about a lot of our guests, Joy and other of your colleagues, part of this inner group. And I always ask them the same question, like on the, let's stop with reviews for a second, but just talk about GMB spam. I'm like, why can't they do anything? The exact match. I get why that's powerful, but it's nonsensical, right? People are now changing their business legitimately to comport with Google's ridiculous local algorithm. They, you know, I've seen some areas where it's gotten better, but over the years, it has taken way too long. And I'm not sure it's there. It seems to be a little bit better as far as, I don't know whether it's Russians or whoever who are able to come in mass. And it's like, you know, from a cost benefit point of view, as an end user, you know, whether you're doing yourself or you're using a consultant, it's just like the ocean. It keeps on coming with this nonsense. What's your take? Why can't we see Google has figured out on organic how to get rid of spam to a great degree. There's stuff that's clearly spam out there and it takes so much effort. They're not just like, oh yeah, that spam, it's gone. It's multiple asks to sort of say, hey, what's your take? Why won't they take this spam issue seriously?
I think they've kind of thrown their hands up against, you know, and said, you know, what can we do? You know, no matter how we clamp down, these people come and find another way to abuse the system. We've all, have railed against Google, from Mike Blumenthal to Joy Hawkins, Ben Fisher, Tom Wannington, myself.
Pretty much by the guests who have discussed this with.
We've raised that issue,
But you say that, but look, they're pretty freaking smart. And when you see stuff that's an exact match, brand new, GMB with one to two reviews, and you're getting the data points that it's not real, it wouldn't take a lot. I mean, literally one person with common sense could sit there in a particular industry and curtail much of this. Now, I get, look, that when I talk to Blumenthal, it's like, look, legal is 0.1% of their greater universe, but they seem to find the time and resources when it comes to monetizing it through their LSAs or otherwise, where you would think they'd say, okay, in these areas where it's super high value, we're making our money, we're going to spend a little bit of money making sure that the pastures are green, given that we're dealing with, they're going to have antitrust issues coming down the pike. It'd be nice if they just kept the sandbox at least clean enough so that we're able to not have to deal with this nonsense. Because it's hard enough, we're about to shift back to what you're talking about, which is the full frontal attack that you may have with direct competitors. But this is sort of spam listings that for quite a while, especially for some term, take money terms, one under the money term, we're just seeing so much in there that people are like, okay, well, I don't want to fight for the high value injury term, but I'm going to go for like nursing home or workers' comp. And they just, it is so saturated with spam that, I'm sitting here saying, no, I won't buy that they've thrown their hands up. It's almost like they're just not going to put any meaningful resources towards cleaning it up.
Yeah. Yes. And I agree. I mean, how many times have we seen exposés about the rehab industry spam? We just had an article last July by the Register talking about, and they outed one of the companies behind it. Right. Again, Google comes in, they do this massive cleanup. Everything's gone. You go back and you find it again. I mean, I found one of the most ridiculous named rehab listings, and it was, and I kid you not, Fuji Hibachi drug rehab. And so they're doing it again. We had the Wall Street Journal article where we talked about the spam in legal that was just overtaking.
Well, and then so normally that's my rule. You make the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, or New York Times, eyeglasses or whatever. Once you do that, Google's like, okay, I get it. It's time for us to do something. This is like the first time in history where like they you got the article and they still don't care.
Well, they do. They do. Well, I think Wall Street Journal article was that shot across the nose that like really woke them up. But I mean, again, the injury accident attorney spam is still populating in California.
And it always has in some form or fashion. Yeah. It's just, this is, local is where it is right now.
Yeah. It's these people that, go to all these, black hat, local SEO conferences that are all just sharing ideas back and forth. And, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, one of the groups is from Russia, and they're making a killing off of it. And until they can't make money or they get, locked up or, the government comes after them or Google, it's never going to end. It's just going to be playing whack-a-mole with these people.
Yeah. And look, and some of it's one-off, just my own little, micro world. A family law lawyer within our own law firm, she got a 3-star review with no comments this week. Okay. We looked at her, her nemesis, and that same person gave a 5-star review. On the same day, that reviewing profile gave 40 reviews with stars and no comments. Like there, you would like in every other place, the algorithm, like we always tell our clients, and I preach from stage, hey, just be natural, no spikes. If you have a number of offices around a state, don't get the same person to review all your offices. Like just they want to review a second one. It's not going to come crashing down on you if it's not a cut and paste job, but like, just be natural. And the question is, like anything else, Google has a, they can turn a sensitivity towards these things. And it just, going back to reviews for a moment, what do you do short, is there a layperson response to something where you see something out of the ordinary, whether it be, you know, somebody spiking reviews one day? I'll give you another example before I go flip back to you. It was, you know, we had a competitor who had reviews saying that, I've never used the, you know, the reviews were, I've never used this person before, but I was at a state fair and I wanted the Frisbee. So I left a review so I could get my, like, there's nonsense. It's in freaking writing and it doesn't matter. Like, how do you bring this together?
Yes. Okay. So yeah. So there's quite a few times where I'll actually find evidence on social media of that state fair raffle and, you know, and thank you so very much when you guys post the photos of your raffles on social media, you know, Facebook or Instagram, because I find it, you know, or the, you know, leave us a Google review and you'll enter a drawing to get, you know, two tickets to the ball game. Again, thank you very much for posting that, because I'm able to, I can use that to basically get all the reviews taken out. And I actually had a client that got one of those nasty emails from Google advising them that they got caught manufacturing reviews and that they needed to knock it off, and it made its way to corporate. And so corporate came down and laid the smackdown on this business owner. But, you know, those are like, you know, that's what is going to end up happening. You get caught with that and Google can actually suspend the listing and not allow it to show up, or they can actually turn off the ability for businesses to get reviews, which is kind of a nice thing. So,
do you think it's worth going back? Do you think given where we are today, if you saw this thing from 2 years ago and you didn't get any love when you attempted it then, do you think that the visibility towards fake reviews is higher now? Or if those reviews are still there, the evidence is still sitting there in the review, do you think that it's worth a second shot at this point, that there is a greater sensitivity within Google towards this now?
Well, always. Whenever you can have that type of evidence where you can actually show Google. So, you know, I've seen it where, you know, the office had a raffle when a Yeti cooler leave us a review, and from the photo they uploaded into GMB, I was actually able to use that that date, and Google went in and wiped out all the reviews going back to that date. So it's the same as like review gating. So, you know, once Google knows that you've been review gating or you've been incentivizing for reviews, they come and they wipe out all those reviews going back to that date.
What do you think about the charitable donation? And I, you know, I'm seeing that now there's a company out there as a review platform that is their posted secret sauce. Meaning that's what they say. They say we're doing a donation per, I feel like if you're a Seinfeld fan, towards the human fund, you know,
the tree planter company.
I think so. Yeah. I'm just using an example. But what is your take? Because look, charity is one of those things that I'd like to do, saying I can't pay somebody, but we're doing a charity. Where does charity fall on that line?
Yeah, that's again, it's a violation of the FTC's guidelines, because the reviewer is somehow being incentivized to leave that review. So they're not leaving that review just because they want, because they know that they're going to get something, or somebody else is going to get something. So
that's the question. So as it gets, I'm throwing this out there to say, are there any legitimate ways to do that? Saying that we're supporting breast cancer if we get to 100 reviews, so it's not any one. Are there any sort of places you think that you can use that positively, or is that all that stuff over the line?
That's all over the line. I mean, if you want to, you can do it with getting followers, you know, on your social media accounts. You can't do it for reviews. That's a complete no-no. And so it violates the FTC's guidelines. It violates every review platform's terms of service, and they will go in and remove that if you get caught doing any of that stuff.
Gotcha. So I have a great, my favorite story, which I've shared before, was I was in Vegas for a guy's weekend and all my buddies left, leaving me and one friend. So we were there one night by ourselves. We sort of were burnt out on Vegas. We wanted some great Korean barbecue. So I Yelp it and we find a place with great reviews, hundreds and hundreds of reviews, very, very high star rating. And we go and we had like a really pleasant meal. It was cheap. It was average Korean barbecue. I can't say it was great. It was fine, but it wasn't like this is the five-star mecca that I was like, so what's going on here? And at dessert time, the little sign on the table, it says, if you review us on Facebook, you are sorry on Yelp, there's a free review. There's a free dessert. And I love free dessert as much. And what did it say? It had to be 5-star. It just said, and it was one of those like life moments where you see that, like, it is, you know, you now see, okay, this was a objectively, let's say, a 3.5 to 4-star experience. And yet they were able to move the needle. And I thought it was one of those moments where, like, okay, it's not in writing. You can't, like, unless you went and took a picture of it, you weren't going to have evidence of this, but there was clearly a cause and effect of what was going on.
Yeah. I see that a lot with restaurants, and yeah, they put that little table tent on the table. But yeah, I mean, look, just asking for a Yelp review violates Yelp's terms of service. So they will come in and they will slap a consumer alert warning on there. You can't run paid ads for a full year when you get that Yelp slap. So that might
being a little tongue in cheek, but that might actually help your ROI for your business. But put that aside. Sorry.
I mean, yes, it probably.
I'm sorry. I'm just having fun at Yelp's expense.
nice. I got that at their expense. But no, in all honesty, like if that business got caught, you know, they would have a consumer alert warning on their listing for 90 days. And I've seen Yelp, you know, refuse to take it down even longer and leave it up there for, you know, almost a year until you finally complain and say, hey, can we get this taken down? But I saw a business where somebody actually uploaded that photo to Yelp. And so I pointed out to Yelp, I'm like, look, here's a photo right here where they're actually giving away a free cookie, you know, for leaving a review. And then Yelp comes in and they wipe out all the reviews and the owner gets all upset. But you had a mediocre experience, right? It wasn't a great experience.
It was fine. It was perfectly fine. It was not negative. Right. It was a value. So it was not bad. And look, that's something about Yelp, my own personal thing, which is with Yelp or Google, I feel like there's an unspoken piece about the review platforms as to whether or not price is a factor in the number of stars. So if you go to Chipotle and it's perfect and it's hot and you got an entire meal that satiates you for $6, is that 5 stars versus you go to a fancy place in Vegas and it's $90 a head and like the waiter didn't fill your water fast enough? Is there a different expectation based on price is what I'm, and yeah. So, and there's no guidelines for the consumers as to what makes 4 or 5 stars. And that is one of those sort of interesting pieces. And I'll give you a story. I was in New York for an anniversary dinner, and the concierge at our hotel recommended a restaurant, and it was a high-end Chinese place. And I almost didn't go because it had 3.5 stars. And I went there, and it was freaking amazing. It was one of the best meals I've ever had. And it was a slow night. The GM came over and sat with us for a little bit. And I was like, what's the deal? And he's like, the issue is at higher price points, people come, they get resentful that it's not an inexpensive place. They want to be where the celebrities are. J-Lo had been there the night before and it was a hot spot. And so that there is no sort of, again, we're going off topic a little bit, but when it comes, that's one of those interesting subjective pieces about reviews in general.
Yeah, definitely. And McDonald's has, you know, some of the worst ratings ever, but you know, they're serving up, you know, $1.99, you know, hamburger. You know,
so right. There's no, if you have $2.99, is there another place that you can get a meal on the planet right now? And the answer is probably not at a brick and mortar establishment. So, you know, it is all relative. But, you know, and that is something I'll give, a distant cousin of mine has a medical practice and I looked at it and his reviews were awful. I mean, just terrible. And that's one of those things. Now, outside of Yelp, you know, this wasn't Yelp, this was Google. Like, there does need to be some sort of a protocol. First thing is make sure you have a good mousetrap. Make sure your product you're offering is great. This was a high volume practice with lots of nurse practitioners mixed in. And there may be real issues. The first thing you say is, hey, do I have an issue with my business? And the second is, you know, if you are a Jiffy Lube and there are 1,000 people coming through a day, if only the angry people leave you a review, you're not in very good shape. Whereas everybody else paid their money, got the cheapest oil change on the planet and left, you know, how if you don't have some sort of mechanism to sort of say, hey, if you are happy, please do this. There's got to be some sort of balance between gatewaying and also not only allowing the hateful people to leave reviews if you're a business, I would think.
Right. And that's just it. You have to ask for reviews. Like, you're not going to get it if you don't ask. You know, and I saw somebody, you know, post on Twitter, you know, just in the last few hours, you know, they said, you know, I'm very uncomfortable asking for testimonials when I do a great job for my customers. And it's like, we got to get past that. You know, it's too difficult to ask for reviews. Like, we have to do, as long as we are in an industry where we can do it. Like, you can't do it in some verticals, right? So you can't do it in medical because of HIPAA. But if you can do that, you know, I consult for a company, and every time that they, you know, they help a business out, they send out an email and say, hey, congratulations. By the way, would you mind leaving us a review? It's built into that email, and reviews keep coming in. You know, we're not going to get, you know, all 5-star reviews, you know, because you can't please everybody. But we know that we can get enough of the positive ones to outweigh that one negative. But we ask. So you have to build that in.
What are some of the best techniques you've seen people at scale using to legally navigate this, but provide a decent, steady stream of reviews?
Yes. I mean, there's quite a few review solicitation services. So a company that I used to work for, they actually built out their own. So they would, you know, send a text message as soon as you left one of their clients' locations. And so they would ask you if it's okay to send a text message. You have to, you know, click yes to opt in. They send you a request to leave a review.
Right. So the review platforms, I mean, one of which is now Google owned. You know, so, but is there anything as far as, you know, obviously giving great service, but are there any things where you said, oh, that's really innovative? Anything where you sort of said, you know, again, platforms are great uploading it, but is there anything, any messaging, anything that you're like, I really like the way this company has been doing it, and it's shown great results? Any cool case studies?
I haven't looked at any case studies. I think the best thing to do is, once you realize that somebody's having a positive experience, that's the point in time where you're already having that one-on-one communication. You ask them to go ahead and leave feedback. I think it's super easy for restaurants because people are constantly, you know, Instagramming their dinner. Well, you just ask them if they'll post that photo on Google and Yelp, because that's okay. Ask them to leave that photo on Yelp. And then they're prompted to leave that review, especially with the hotel space. Like, the hotels are, you know, always, you know, so worried, and they're trying to figure out how to navigate between, you know, sending text messages and emails and follow-ups. And sometimes it gets so much. But, you know, if there's a way that you can, you know, ask them to, you know, upload photos of their vacation, you know, and their stay at your property, now you're going to start getting an increase of user generated content with those photos, and then get that.
You know, maybe that's the workaround. You're asking not for reviews, but for photos. Please upload photos to this. You know, I don't know what the you really want to have your criminal defense lawyer's office, but you know, but the idea being that, like, that's the legal, you know, language difference. You're not asking for reviews. You're asking for photos.
Exactly. Yeah, and probably won't work with you know, defense attorneys. I'm just being
tongue in cheek, but it would be brilliant for freaking restaurants. Like, right. You know, please, you know, upload this for. Next question. And I'm not in the restaurant space, but I would take this to my restaurant buddies. What about upload this to Yelp or Google for a chance to win? One person will be randomly selected.
Oh,
I'm trying. That's what lawyers do. We go to the language. So,
you know, I don't know if I want to publicly say it,
but, like, I think you're on the right side of it, because you're not asking for a review. You're asking for placement. I love these things. These are the things that, you know, I got three annoying kids in the other room, but, you know, homeschooling. So, you know, it's like, you know, yeah. this is what I spend my day thinking about. How do you move the needle?
I'll run that by Mike Blumenthal, because he's well-versed in this, and see what he says.
Well, he would say, as long as it's for a jewelry store in upstate New York, you're fine. But otherwise, I think it might be a problem. We got to keep
which,
that place.
I wonder which jewelry shop that could be.
I love Mike. I think I have dubious distinctions. I believe I was client number one. I know I was the first private client for Joy, and as well, I believe for Mike, way back in the day. So, big fans of both of them and the insights, and like, all you want to do is know where the line is and what you can do and what you can't do. Right. Let's sort of wrap this up, coming back to, the reviews. Once you do see these patterns, you know, sort of bring us home, you know, you see stuff, you know, look, I preach when a bad review comes in, because in the legal world, they hurt, they're personal, that I ask people to take a 24-hour cool off, no responding to them, no nothing, because we still have a bar license that's at stake, you know, and you don't want to F with that, right? You respond, you think you're just responding to it, even though they've broken privilege, you may not be allowed to. So you have that, whole issue. But what are some of the things that you see when you do have these nonsensical reviews that come in from time to time, and you do the sort of, you go through the, you know, through the correct protocols, and that doesn't do it. Where do you tell people to go then?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, so again, first thing to do is flag it, then come to the Google My Business community forum. Hopefully, you know, you get a good product expert, you know, like myself, Joy, Ben, you know, that weighs in on it, you know, and you don't get somebody that's just, you know, being that echo chamber telling you there's nothing you can do. I always put together like a really nice package where, you know, I'll put together an Excel document and show correlation between the profiles and how they're fake and, you know, how they're purchased or, you know, whatever evidence I come across and I find, I put that together for Google. And then I go and I contact, you know, and I work with Google. And when then that doesn't work, then I have to go into my bag of tricks and reach out to my friends in the media, you know, and news reporters and get them to talk about the story. Right, sure. And then all of a sudden, Google's like,
but that takes real resources to get there. And that's the issue. Like, that's not going to be for the faint of heart. That's going to be for somebody in a business that has the resources to do it. And that's sort of like, look, that's no different than litigation. People come to me all the time. I want to sue somebody. I'm like, you know, when the amount in jeopardy is less than like $40,000, it's rare that, I mean, you could use small claims court for smaller stuff, but there's a dollar figure where it's just, you can't, that you'll spend more on litigation than you will on the amount in jeopardy. And you have to just sort of like settle, split the difference and move on, because otherwise, you know, you're just making the lawyer's money, but not really getting yourself anything better economically.
Well, and that's why working with my contacts in, you know, at various news stations doesn't cost any money. You know, I pitch them the story. I show them, you know,
really obnoxious, it makes you look good because you're giving them a great story.
Right. And I'm giving them a great story. The business that's being attacked is able to get that PR. And so now all of a sudden they're getting their name out there in front of a whole lot of larger audience that they normally wouldn't have been able to get in front of. And so it's a win-win. You get that public, that PR. Google gets slapped across the face, and then they take action and they end up removing those reviews, because all of a sudden, once the media gets involved and they're like, okay, this is a bigger issue. Like we saw with the Wall Street Journal article. I mean, you work with a bunch of, you know, lawyers, and we saw a bunch of lawyer listings, even some legit ones, get suspended in June 2019 because of, you know,
the virtual
4 days prior to that Wall Street Journal article coming out. All of a sudden, there was like this big, massive cleanup, and, you know, we know Google got a little more egregious with it and super sensitive, but that's kind of, you know, what ends up needing to happen is, you know, you have to make noise, a little bit of noise, just to get Google's attention some days.
You know, other things that we sort of see, common questions, right now, we've always, you know, virtual offices, right? This has been a thing. We had the algorithm cleanup of a bunch. What do you, you know, right now, what is real and what's virtual? Like, again, in the Northeast cities, people aren't going to work anyway. So it's this like bizarre netherworld where it can't be virtual at the same time. And again, I'm not giving them flack for it. It's like they're trying to clean up spam, and I applaud that. But there's this bizarre world about what's real and what's not. And coming out of COVID, there's a good chance that much more of the world is going to be virtual, that the idea of a brick and mortar facility will not be needed in many areas, because people realize, oh, wow, I don't need that. What do you think, that there'll be any sort of adjustment in that world?
I don't think there's going to be an adjustment on Google's end. So right now, you know, right now it's, I can't really get into the specifics of how Google's viewing it right now, but things have definitely changed because, you know, businesses have had to shut down.
I mean, they had to take a pause. If they were taking people off because, you know, if nobody's going to your office and yet you could get up your lease, the idea of a Regis might be the right business move for, you know, I would just wish there was a reason where if you were under X number of offices, they would allow something like that because it may be that you don't want it. However, if it's your 17th office, that's when they see it as abusive.
I don't think Google weighs it that way, but I do know.
I'm telling my world, the way I want it. World.
Yeah, but I can tell you that if you are creating, you know, if you have 15 listings, they're all at virtual offices, and
that's not going to work.
Right, and your keyword stuffing on them, then that's when you're going to have a big issue. You're going to get account level suspension.
Absolutely. Well, look, I thoroughly appreciate this. Where can people find you, Jason?
Yep, you can find me at Review Fraud or on Twitter as Kaiser Holiday, which is Kaiser Soze from Usual Suspects and Doc Holiday from Tombstone.
I followed you.
So yeah, that's where I am, or I'm always hanging out in the Google My Business community forum trying to help businesses that are struggling with issues with GMB that they just can't get help from general Google support.
Well, thank you so much, Jason. And can't wait to hopefully see you in person at one of these conferences when they come back.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm missing conferences. I'm missing my family.
Thank you for tuning in to the SEO Insider with Seth Price. Be sure to check back next week for fresh insights into building your brand's online presence. Episodes are available to stream directly on Blue Shark Digital's website.